We've been talking in these days, basing our comments, basing our study of Scripture, on one word at a time. Of course, the Bible is filled with many, many, many words, but we've been trying to focus on one key word over basically 4 weeks is what we've been doing. Way back there before the summer months began, we spent 4 weeks talking about Bible. Then we transitioned and talked about one word, doubt. We talked about prayer for 4 weeks, just that one word, because out of that comes all kinds of thoughts and all kinds of truths from God's word. We spent some time talking about money, about finances. We spent some time talking about community, what it means to be the church, which involves when we gather here in the big room, when we meet in small groups, Sunday school, Bible study, when we carry on ministries all through the week. And we've spent 4 weeks, and we're winding up those 4 weeks, talking about rules. For you see, we either live by rules or we don't. Some people, that's their entire focus of everything. It's the way they were brought up. It's in their DNA. Rules, rules, rules. And indeed, the Bible is filled with rules. But I want to ask you to take a different take on it, a different view on what rules really are all about. I've told you in times past, if you've known me for any period of time, you know that I speak in superlatives. That means everything's the greatest or it's the worst. Everything is the best. I firmly believe that that's a good way to live, because if I'm eating something good, it ought to be the best taco I've ever tasted in my entire life. Marcy and I got to go to the Ranger game this past Friday. We had some tickets given to us. We deserve them. You didn't. And we got to go. Part of where we sat, you could have all you wanted to eat, anything, everything, and they would bring it to you where you were. You could go to the restaurant and have anything and everything you wanted. And I that's been since Friday. That was the greatest meal I've ever eaten in my entire life. But today I'm going to eat lunch, and it will be the greatest. Whatever Marcy has planned, I'm sure is fine. It will be the greatest that I've ever had. But I just wanted you to know that I come by it honestly. I hold in my hands a book that the pastor I grew up under wrote many years ago. His name was W.O. Vaughn. My dad served Arkansas Baptist, so he was not the pastor of the church that I grew up in, though he was there as often as he could be. Dr. Vaught taught the Bible 38 years in that one church, Emmanuel Baptist in Little Rock. But he printed a little book called Believe Plus Nothing. Believe Plus Nothing. And if there's anything I could come across or get across to you, some of you may know, most of you do know, we're stepping away in retirement. No one's really counting. I have 10 more Sundays. And in those 10 Sundays, I have some things I want you to hear, things I want you to know, some things that are vitally important, I think, to all of us as a church where we are, as we're praying for committees and teams that are paving the way so that the church can make spiritual decisions with confidence. In particular, the person who will come and will be the pastor of our great church. So I'm just simply letting you know that these things that I want to tell you, I have considered carefully, and I come by it honestly, that today, what I want to tell you, what the Scripture says, is probably one of the greatest things you will ever hear. It certainly is the greatest truth that you need to hear. And I think you'll understand why as we move through the Scripture. Rules. Let's just call it what it is. It's legalism. And legalism is the most dangerous threat to believers. The best way to put it is that there are really two ways in which to live when it regards legalism. Legalism, I said, is the most dangerous threat to believers because we misunderstand legalism altogether. We seem to think that if you're a legalist, that means that you have more rules to follow than anybody else, or that you're better at following those rules than anybody else that you ever come across or think about or that you rub shoulders with. But that's not all legalism is. Legalism is much more crafty. It's much more sneaky than just, here's a list of 10 things in order to be a good Christian. Do your best with them, and maybe God will love you each and every day. That's what some people think legalism is. But legalism is, and hear me, legalism is when we substitute our performance so that God will love us. Hear me. Legalism is I achieve salvation and forgiveness by obeying God. And you go, Stephen, wait a minute. That's the truth. We are saved and we are forgiven. We obey God. I didn't say that. I said legalism is the belief that I achieve salvation and forgiveness from God by obeying, which means it's my personal performance. And personal performance leads to idolatry. Why? Because I have now substituted what I can do or can't do, what I should do or should not do. I have substituted my performance at those things for God's amazing grace. Basically, if you're living that way, if you're living by wondering if you're good enough or trying or striving to do the next best thing in your Christian life, what you have really done is become an idolater. And you're basically saying, God, I'm sorry, but the cross means nothing. The cross of Jesus is a colossal failure. Why? Because now it's my performance that I'm focusing on and not your word. Christ plus works, I guess, is the best way to put it. Christ plus works. Matthew 15, verse 3. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition?" The background of this one verse is Jesus being called on the carpet because he healed someone on the wrong day. Because he constituted what the law said you couldn't transgress. He worked on the wrong day. He broke the tradition. And notice the difference, Jesus said. The commands of God are one thing, but you have added to it your traditions, your works. We've talked about it before, but it's very important. You see, it started with a good motivation. It started with right kind of thinking. Here the Israelites have been banished to Babylon. They're going to be there for 70 years. This is the time during the prophet Jeremiah. Some of the greatest scriptural promises. Therefore, the plans I have for you or for your welfare, all those ideas that God is saying I'm going to do for you, he is telling them those things while they were in exile. And they lived two generations almost in exile before they were able to come home. During all that time in exile, what did the people of faith who took seriously God's word, what did they say? We got exiled because we disobeyed. So we're going to make sure we never disobey again. So we're going to do what God has asked us to do. What has he asked us to do? He gave us the books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And we're going to take those verses and we're going to break them down and we're going to interpret them correctly so that God will love us. Started out as a good thing, didn't it? But it turned into what? It turned into a system of legalism, a system of personal performance that substituted the love and the grace of God. That's one way to live your life. When I was growing up, there was a TV show called The Ed Sullivan Show. Do you know what day of the week it came on TV? It was Sunday evening. I couldn't go and watch Ed Sullivan because I had to go to church. But Ed Sullivan, every once in a while, I got away, talked my parents into letting me listen to the Ed Sullivan Show. Because it was this part variety, part, you know, Ed Sullivan was this strange guy that, you know, had this plastic face almost, and he opened his mouth about this one, and that was it when he talked. But it was one of the most popular television shows ever to run because of all the strange and unusual things that he would put on live TV. Well, one of them was this idea of a guy who could spin plates. He had 7-foot semi-flexible rods made out of steel. And he used a 7-foot rod with a ceramic dinner plate, just a plain old plate. And he would take that plate and put it on top, bend it over because it was about 7 feet off the ground, and he would start spinning it, and then he would let go of it and get it going. And then he would run and grab another rod, and he would get a plate started, and then he would do another, and he would do another. It was amazing what he could do. The only problem was he would get to so many plates, and then you would look and you would notice that one of the first ones he started spinning was running out of inertia, whatever it is, and it was in danger of crashing to the floor. See if you remember something this. Makes you tired just looking at him. But this is what many of us do regarding our Christian life. I want to introduce you to Sam and Sarah, the plate spinners. Sam and Sarah. Let's just focus on Sam for a moment, but it applies to male or female. Sam is a brand new Christian. He heard the gospel at church, and he talked to the pastor, and he made a commitment of his life, and he prayed, and he received Christ Jesus into his life. And all the people said, amen. That's the act of salvation. But the very next Sunday, he was sitting in the pew, and a friend of his, actually friend Mike, who actually brought him to church in the first place, was sitting a couple rows behind him. And he noticed that Sam was having a problem finding the book of Romans. That was the passage of the day for the sermon. And so after the service, Mike went up to Sam and said, how you doing? Isn't this a great life? And don't you feel just totally better than you've ever felt in your life? And Sam said, yeah. Mike said, but I noticed you were having a little trouble finding the book of Romans. And Sam said, the obvious. Of course I did. I mean, this book, look how big it is. I don't understand it. There are too many words, and I got lost. So Mike said, well, do you read the Bible every day? And Sam said, well, yes, I try to, but I don't understand it at all. And then Mike said the words, well, I've got a Bible reading plan for you. And if you'll just take this chart and follow it every day, in 1 year, 365 days, you will have read through the whole Bible. And Sam said, are you kidding me? You mean if I follow this chart, I will have read the entire Bible in a year? And Mike said, yeah. And so what did Sam do? He started a spinning plate in his Christian life. And it's called Bible reading. And then the next week, he got an invitation to go to a men's conference. Something about keeping promises. And so he went to that. And because of that, because of being at that conference, he learned all kinds of things. And he learned that he needed to be fasting a few times during the year. And so he started another plate spinning in his Christian life. And then he heard a sermon about a month later, and the preacher talked about praying. Not praying like God bless the food or be with the missionaries, but I'm talking about fervently, really praying, desperate praying. And so he bought up every book he could find on praying, really praying. And he started another plate spinning in his Christian life. And he felt better than he had ever felt in his entire life, because he was pleasing God, because he was performing like a good Christian ought to perform, until that Bible reading plate started wobbling, and he missed a day, and he missed the next day, and his prayer life became almost non-existent. And so all these spinning plates that he had going so well, and all this pleasing of God that was working just as it ought to, all of a sudden it started coming down, and those plates began to break up. And what happened to Sam? Well, when he came to church, he kept his head down. He was ashamed. Because God couldn't approve of him, could he? God couldn't still love him, could he? I mean, he dropped this plate. He let it spin out of control. And everything that Sam grew up as he came into a life of faith, he began to see it subtly change the focus of his life. You can guess what it is. He started looking to earn God's favor and to earn God's grace instead of experiencing the grace of God and the presence of God in his life. How many plates have you got spinning? How many? Started? Someone told you, someone motivated you, someone got you going down the right road, and then all of a sudden, over time, you add another one, then you add another one, and then you're so spread so thin that it just naturally leaps over into works and earning it. And you fail at that, because how could God love someone like you or me who can't keep those spiritual plates spinning? Is the Christian life about Christ plus works? Or there's another viewpoint. That's the reason I remembered the book that my pastor growing up wrote, Believe Plus Nothing. And what Dr. Vaught was getting across, because I remember those sermons that he preached, he wasn't saying that Bible reading was worthless. He wasn't saying that you're not supposed to pray. He wasn't saying any of those things. If we're going to grow as Christians, we should read the Bible. We should pray. We should be interested in growing. We should set goals. But we got to keep it within a proper understanding of what the gospel, what the good news truly is. So it's Christ plus nothing. It's faithing plus nothing. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Folks, two key ideas I want you to focus on. It's the idea of I am saved. Paul says right here, we are justified as a gift of his grace. And so in one sense, I am saved, and the Bible word is justification. We are justified. The way that word is written in the New Testament, it means some action that happens in a point of time, and it continues on and on and on. It's the idea of a judge bringing a defendant before the bench of the court. And though that person is guilty of this and that, the judge pronounces him justified and wipes out all of those things in the past. When we trust Jesus to be Lord and Savior of our lives, we are, the scripture says, justified. I am saved. It's once for all. It's a finished work. Folks, think about it. What else would the cross mean if the cross had to be repeated time and time and time again, and we'd make a mockery of it? When Jesus died upon the cross and uttered those words, it is finished, he didn't die right then. It is finished was one word in the Greek language, which was the stamp that it was done. And Jesus was saying, my work to bring back all people to where they need to be, it's finished. I've done it. I've completed it. And so when we receive Christ Jesus as Lord, we are saved once for all. We are justified once for all. It is a finished work. That's one key idea. But the second key idea is wrapped up in the phrase, I am being saved. Hear the difference. I am saved once for all. I am being saved. That Bible word is sanctification. And that's a big word to swallow. It's a big word to pronounce. You don't use it in everyday conversation, but you live it or you don't each and every day. Because you see, the other part of salvation in its completeness, I am saved once for all. I am being saved. The process of sanctification is an ongoing work. It is a process, if you will. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, Paul said, we are being saved. And he's talking to the church about how they are practicing the Christian life. We are being saved. Ephesians 2:8 says, you have been saved through faith. You see the difference? Once again, one is a complete work once for all, never to be repeated again. The other is an ongoing process to where what? That part of salvation is God molding us and using life circumstances, is using the passage of time. It's using spiritual disciplines that we all need to be involved in order that we might grow into being more and more like Jesus. What's our problem then? Our problem is we overlap saved once for all with being saved, the process of becoming more and more, of becoming mature, of growing, of understanding this Bible more and more today than we did yesterday, knowing that God will give us plenty to work on as time goes on. We overlap the two. They're both part of the process, but we can't substitute one for the other. And that's what Sam, the plate spinner, does. That's what Stephen, the plate spinner, does. It's what any of us who overlap these two important ideas in Scripture of what it means to be saved once for all and what it means to grow in Christ day by day. Look at it this way. Justification is being declared right. Sanctification is being made right. Justification is our position in Christ. Sanctification is our practice of that position. Justification is immediate. When you make that choice to follow Jesus, you were declared justified before God. Don't you ever forget that. It's not the beginning of a process that you've got to perform more and more in order to achieve it. That's how most of us live life. We learn it honestly at work, trying to climb the ladder, trying to reach whatever it is we're trying to reach, and we miss the whole point of what the Christian life is all about when we don't understand that justification is immediate once for all. You can be 7 years old, you can be 70 years old, and in the eyes of God, when that choice is made, both are equally justified before God. But it's also a process. One day, we will all stand before God. Scripture is very clear about that. One day, we will come into the presence of the I am that I am, of Yahweh, of the Lord God. If we have been justified while upon this earth, the Bible says we do not enter that presence of God alone. We enter with Jesus by our side. And the way I look at it, I don't have to say a word. It's going to be Jesus who says, Father, this is Stephen Gill Hatfield. When he was 9 years of age, at a revival service that I believe his father preached in Ashdown, Arkansas, he made the choice to follow me and to become like us. So here he is, Father. And what will I be doing? I'll be going, whew. And so will you. Not really. Because we will have understood by practice that it's believe plus works? No. Is it Christ plus my performance? No. It's believe, it's Christ plus nothing. That's the truth. So quit spinning plates. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to hear your word, to think on it, to meditate on it, to process it. But Father, most of all, to accept it. So that's why we're here at this point in this hour, is to make that opportunity available for choices to be made. Help us. We love you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So here's how we wrap up this hour. It's the way we do every time we gather. We offer a time of commitment, a time of invitation, a time of choosing. If you're here today and you're without Christ, you have never trusted him. You have never said, Lord, save me. It is not anything you can do to earn it. It's not anything you can do to materialize it or to make it appear. It is accepting what Christ has already done. It's a step of faith. It's believing, it's faithing, it's choosing. And then living your life by faith and not by personal performance. Not by spinning those plates. If we can pray for you, if we can encourage you, that's what we want to do. And so we offer that invitation for you to step out, come forward, and make that choice that's more important than every other choice in life. To say yes to Jesus. If you're here today and you've done that, you just hadn't told anybody. You hadn't publicly professed your faith in him. That's an important step. Maybe you wonder what this water up here is for and why this young man was immersed in it. It's a symbol. It's a command. Doesn't wash any sin away. Once again, it's not performance. It's not what we can do or conjure up or how good we can be. But it's simply obeying God at his word. That he wants us to identify with him. So if that's something you want to talk about, we can pray with you about and encourage you about, come forward. Church membership, some people shy away from it, don't need it, especially during this time of pandemic. We've had a lot of people just, they don't know what to do. They don't know how to plug in. They don't know how to connect. And that's one of the tragedies of these past months. When will it ever be over? Who knows? And it may never really be over. Because perhaps the idea of how we do church is never going to be the same again. And as our church moves forward, we need to keep that in mind and understand it. But it is still true, and there's nothing to deny the fact that God wants us to gather as his family. We are the body of Christ. This is how God works in his world. So you need to find a place to belong and a place to plug in. And if it's around here, great. If it's wherever God leads you, great. Just make up your mind and quit holding back and step out in faith. It's the right thing to do. But then for the majority of us in here, I almost tried to learn how to spin plates in this service, but I knew it would be a colossal failure and you would laugh at me. And I wasn't going to be made fun of because that reflects on me and my personal performance. But those plates are spinning and you've probably got someone talking you into adding one or two more this week. You feel guilty about the fact that that plate broke a long time ago. So you kind of gave up. God couldn't love you. Separate out. I am saved. I am being saved. Separate that out and legalism will vanish from your life. That's our invitation. I ask you to respond as God leads. We stand, we sing, we wait.